You know, it's funny. After I shared before, I thought, "Oh, bummer! I wish we had recorded." Huh? I know my phone was running the recording. Aaron had gone into a spontaneous song, and I thought, "Oh, I'll just put the recording on because maybe it'll be a lyric or something like that." And I go up there, and my phone was still recording the entire time on this plant vase underneath the speaker. Isn't that awesome? So we got it. For others to be able to hear too. Well, great to be with you guys. Man, you guys are beautiful. Seriously, you are beautiful people. God loves you. He made you. He loves us. He loves this church. This is such a beautiful church, such a beautiful body of believers. You might think, man, how many more times do you want to say beautiful? Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That's what you are. He gave you beauty for and joy for mourning. Isn't that awesome? Okay. I've got probably two or three Sundays worth of kind of notes. So we're going to do some amount of it today. But probably not a whole lot. Here's context. Who here has heard the last two sermons from the church? The last two sermons? I think many of you, yeah, okay, see a lot of nods or hands. The Lord spoke to me, said, go ahead and release the vision. I'll just recap real quickly because it'll make sense of this message. The vision is this, that we would have a church with no ministries, just ministers. And the Lord's been speaking to me about decentralization that's happening in the world. Airbnb is a decentralized hotel chain that doesn't have a property, yet they're the biggest hotel chain in the world. Do you see the connection? A church with no ministries, only ministers. An Airbnb, a hotel chain with no buildings, only hotel owners, really, is what it comes down to. Uber, biggest taxi company in the world, does not have a car. That's a tough way to build a taxi company in the past. But now they're the biggest taxi company in the world with no cars. The question is the Lord actually foreshadowing something that he's doing in the church? I believe that he is. I think that what we're seeing with Uber and Airbnb, as great as they are, or Bitcoin, for instance, would be another decentralized thing. What we're seeing with those pales in comparison to what it will look like in the body of Christ, because God said we're going to shine so bright that the Gentiles are going to run to us with the wealth of nations. So there's something God's doing in the body of Christ related to this, I believe, and I believe that there's a lot of sort of confirming words that right now we're in a season of reformation in the church. There was a revolution, and I believe that's leading into a reformation. By the way, last time I mentioned that we as believers need to be able to sense, I was saying that the revolution, I believe, was Trump being elected. It shook everything. And I believe, I said last time, as believers, we need to be able to hear what the Lord's saying about political things. That wasn't me saying, not because anyone talked to me, I'm just telling you, it wasn't me saying, therefore, you always should vote exactly this way. I'm saying, we need to have our ear to his heart. I was not a Trump fan initially. Initially, I voted for John Kasich in the primaries. I'm thinking, Trump is bombastic, what's going on? All I can tell you is over about 2 months, the Lord spoke to me, spoke to me, spoke to me, spoke to me, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me, God, you're telling me this? And I realized that the Lord was speaking to me that it's Trump. This was in the months leading up to the election. And then I started finding these prophecies from 2011 saying, Trump shall become a trumpet and raise up to the highest seat in the land, and da-da-da-da-da, prophesied Donald Trump as president. I was like, oh my gosh. It was, and some of you are probably still reeling from it. Like, what is going on with this? And I'm telling you, his job is revolution. His job is shaking. Sometimes you might think, I wish he could bring like a little bit more calm to this situation. And I'm just telling you, I believe that what he's called to do is what he's doing right now, which is shaking things up quite a bit. That's not what God's always going to put in office. Do you hear me? So I'm saying we need to hear. I think you're going to see. I got a prophetic insight to something recently. I think you're going to see in the coming decade or so some even more surprising things that God puts his hand upon. Not like more bombastic. I'm just saying some things that you're like, what? That is God. This is unbelievable. So you can't just pigeonhole yourself into a system. You have to listen to Holy Spirit. And so I believe we're in a Reformation period right now, and even since our last, I'd already told you many people were speaking that word about Reformation, but since our last message, Lana Vassar, who's a prophet, I just love that lady, out of Australia, she came out and she said, we're in a Reformation. Dutch Sheets, those who know Dutch Sheets just said we're at the start of a Reformation. Point. What it looks like, we don't know, but it is a new wineskin. By the way, remember that word I shared from Mark Crawford in 2013 where he said we're going to basically be a decentralized church where we're in formation but going in many different places? Our friend Tony from Wyoming, we got out there, I showed him a picture of this space, and the next day, I didn't tell him anything about what we were doing, the next day, he prophesies over us about being the center that's sending out people all these sorts of places, and it's not about connecting to my ministry, it's you connecting to your ministry and going. And then he goes on to say, you guys are going to be a Holy Spirit lab space. It's like you're a lab space. It's a lab space. And it's like kind of like a prototype. That's the word I was looking for. He repeated Mark's word 5 years later. Isn't that awesome? And then remember Joshua's word, the Lord's going to change the face of the church in a generation? We're hearing about some crazy new iterations of what church looks like out there, and their lead intercessor at the mission comes up to me, and she says, the Lord spoke to me 10 or 15 years ago that he's going to change the face of the church. She got the same word as Joshua, at the same time as Joshua, on the other side of the country, and then happens to come up and give me that word. I'm just saying that the level of confirmation is just incredible right now. So it's a real exciting time. And what I was after is, you know, last time I said a church with no ministries, just ministers. And Brian Mangosheen got up afterwards and said, boy, that really puts a lot of onus on us, doesn't it? If you don't know, Brian is a super gifted pastor, by the way. A lot of people think pastors look a certain way, but pastors will see breakthrough in your life from one area to another. Brian is a gifted pastor. So what happens? It wasn't a surprise to me at all. I preach this message, and it opens up kind of a can of worms probably for some of you, like, I'm a minister. I didn't know that I was getting ordained today, you know, all this sort of thing. And up comes Brian. He said, boy, this puts a lot of personal responsibility on us, doesn't it? Why? He's perceiving the pastoral need of the body, right? I'm kind of starting fires, and he's coming up there and saying, okay, you know, I can see that this probably feels like this to some of you. So what I wanted to do is follow up on that and say, how do you step into that place of ministry? And I've been crying out to the Lord. I said, God, how do I do this? How do I do this? And I felt like I got a word out in California. A friend of mine said, Peter, new tools for new seasons, new tools for new seasons. You need new tools for this next season. And I knew the Lord was speaking about this. And I was like, what is the new tool? Because I'm like, I want there to be empowerment for you guys to step into the place of ministry. I don't want engagement. I want empowerment. There's a difference. Engagement is about a centralized church model. I'm going to engage you in what's going on. Here's what we have going on at Agathos this week. Would you like to engage with it, right? And so the engagement's good, but it's not empowerment. Empowerment comes through ownership. This is what the Lord started to speak to me about, through ownership. You need to have personal ownership. That's where empowerment comes from. I'm like, Lord, how do I preach? How do I teach such that empowerment, ownership gets released? Because sometimes it's not just what you say, but how you say it. This is why Jesus also said, take heed what you hear and how you hear. So it's not just the content, but it's also the how. Long story short, here's what happens. The Lord starts ministering to my heart about intimacy, which I started to share with you guys. Okay? And then we're going to dive deeper into that. And the prayer team ends up praying that exactly on Friday. They're like, what we need is intimacy. Every person intimate with the Lord. That's where all empowerment comes from. And so what I want to do, this message series, if it's going to be like a series of a few Sundays, is called Primary Source Ministry. Primary Source Ministry. Anybody remember their history papers in school?
Of course I do.
That's awesome. There's secondary sources. So-and-so said this and that about the Battle of Gettysburg. What's a primary source? Yeah, I'm not saying anything about it. I was there. This is what happened. No commentary. It's just, this is it. This is a picture of the battle. This was the battle plan that so-and-so wrote up before they stepped in, and someone found it in his journal. Primary source. everything I was ministering at the front end of service was about that. All ministry is going to come from getting connected to the primary source. We do not get empowered for ministry through a secondary source. Nothing you hear from me in and of itself, if all you do is hear from me and it doesn't lead to your own encounter with Jesus, and this is why I've got the fear of God on me. I'm like, Lord, how do I preach in such a way? How do I teach in such a way that the right thing happens? Because if you look to me, then you won't get connected to the vine, right? And there won't be ministry. But the most unsuspecting woman, the woman who was afraid to be seen in public, became the shouter from the rooftops of what Jesus had told her in private. How did it happen? She had a one-on-one primary source connection to the Savior. Everything changes when you get connected to Him. You might say, well, I'm a believer. I am connected to Him. Yes, but how tangible is His pleasure on you right now? You see what I'm saying? Like, as we go through the day, is His pleasure tangible? I've been in both places. As we go through the day and we have a moment free, do we want to run to the Word and run to worship and run to prayer? Or do I want to run to look at fly fishing stuff? And by the way, God loves fly fishing. So there's a place for that. There's a place for that. 100%. He's just as much in that. But I'm saying it's the status of my heart. It's the status of my heart. Are my affections for Him so current that I'm hungering and thirsting for more of Him? Or do I have a taste for something else? Take heed what you hear, and take heed how you hear. For him who has, more will be given. To him who has, more will be given. What you set your affections on, you'll get more of. The thing you satisfy your hunger. Have you ever wondered how some people eat the most ridiculously unhealthy food on the face of the earth? And just so you know, I'm kind of probably pretty middle ground on this in terms of my life practice, okay? I'm not, we don't shop everything at Whole Foods or something, so there's no condemnation on this. I'm kind of like maybe in this boat sometimes. But you ever see someone that's like, you're eating that? And then you watch the next meal and you're like, and now you're eating that? Like, you probably would vomit if you tried to eat that they're eating. Have you ever noticed this? Their body will adjust to eating junk. If you don't taste and see that the Lord's good, you'll settle for mediocre food. I know that we all have a connection with God. I'm saying, how current is our connection with God? That's the source of all ministry confidence. That's the source of all ministry confidence. Turn with me to this verse. Second Timothy 2:15. So that's what I'm getting after with you guys. I have the impression it's going to be kind of like walking around the walls of Jericho. We're going to kind of circle the same issue for a little while. And then I think some things are going to fall down for you that have been restrictive for some of us in stepping into ministry. This word is ministering to me. So I pray that it would bless you as well. Let me just do this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. It's all about connection, right? So I'm not telling you to prepare for ministry. I'm saying we're going to be a church of ministers, right? But I'm not telling you to, quote, prepare for ministry. I'm telling you to connect for ministry. One of the shifts that's happening, I've got 10 shifts that I'm going to tell you about, 10 shifts in thinking. Maybe 5 of them are going to apply to you, or 3 of them, or 8 of them, or 10 of them, or 12 of them. You're like, I just need to hear those two twice. I've got 10 shifts in our thinking about ministry that will produce dramatic results with tremendous joy and greatest ease in your life. Here's this one, 2 Timothy 2:15. So here's one of the shifts, and you can write them down. The first one is the shift from preparation for ministry, and that shift to connection of the minister. Our connection to the Father is the bigger deal than, quote, preparation for ministry. Now you'll see why I'm at this verse, because I'm not saying don't prepare to minister. You guys probably are aware of this verse. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I take that seriously. I minister to myself the word of God such that I have the word of God in me to minister. Right? So, 100%. But I was prepping this point about preparation for ministry. No, connection for ministry. You will do more good out of connection with the Father than you will out of preparation for ministry.
Amen.
I've learned this. It's like in prepping for a sermon, I mean, I prep diligently. I prep so much for this message. It was like kind of a pain. I mean, it was great, but it was like a lot of work. Part of it is because God was wanting to get me to do something a new way than I had done before. So it just took a little bit for me to get it. So it was actually a delight in the end. But it was a little hard. So I'm big on preparing. It's good. Be diligent, right? But I'm telling you, once you get up here or once you're standing in front of someone, all your preparation is going to come down to your connection. You will do more good out of connection than you will out of preparation. I'm not saying either or. I'm just saying one's more. Now, in order to tell you that I was not saying either or, I wanted you to turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. But I discovered something in 2 Timothy 2:15. I've been misquoting it for years. I was quoting out of the King James Version, I think. Turns out the Greek doesn't support the King James Version. They used like a sixth definition instead of the obvious first definition of the word, and it totally changed it for me. Here's how it normally reads. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study is that like seventh definition or fifth definition. Do you know what the word there actually is? Here's the actual translation. If I just use the obvious first definition, be diligent for a certain thing. Diligent. It's not study. It's be diligent. What are you supposed to be diligent about? Listen, here's what it means in the Greek. Be diligent to stand beside God as one approved. Ho! Be diligent to stand beside God as one approved. Be diligent to stand beside, in connection with God, as one approved. Are you catching this? It's saying be diligent to be in connection with the Father according to your status of not being rejected by Him at all, the grace of the Lord Jesus covering over anything you've ever done. Be diligent to stand next to Him and in connection with Him, knowing your status with Him as a new covenant saint.
Amen.
And it's saying if you're diligent in order to stand next to Him in this way, you will be a worker who, after you've done the work, will not be ashamed. You won't be worrying about what people think of you because you only did what was coming out of connection. It wasn't you. I mean, it was you by choice, but it wasn't you. And so you're doing these things out of connection, and you have no need to be ashamed then as a worker. And this mentality of being one who's a New Testament saint, completely in right standing with God, where you've been diligent to stand beside God as one approved, is what causes you to rightly divide the word of God. The division in the word of God is the new and the old covenant. The cross, that's the division. It's the dividing point. There's old covenant inside the Gospels. He had not yet died. There's old covenant. You read Sermon on the Mount, there's a number of old covenant things that are still imprisoning people under sin. He's saying, you think you've solved the law? You ain't solved the law. You looked at her with lust, buddy. He's imprisoning further under sin. As a tutor, the law bringing us to the Savior, Christ, so that in the fullness of time, we could come into fullness of life. We're supposed to be diligent for something. See, I thought I was going to go to this verse and say, I know you're supposed to be diligent to study. And there is that part. That's why I read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The scripture is what makes you equipped as a minister. But it's not the same as connection. It's not the same as connection. It's not the same as connection. And God is moving us from an expectation. See, we have unthought of expectations. The expectation that I got to prepare. Peter said we're going to be ministers. I got to prepare. I'm saying connect. 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 And that's why I went after that thing to start, because if we have that fear of rejection, that like one thing that's like, God, please don't look at me about that. I know you've forgiven me everything. I know I'm good in Christ, but I really don't want to talk with you about that. So I just constantly hold myself a little bit arm's distance. We can talk about ministry. We can talk about theology. God, I want to hear what you have to say. I can prophesy, but please don't look me in the eyes. And I'm saying it's that intimacy and connection where you know the heartbeat of the Father and you can feel his pleasure. You know, I heard this for the first time this week. I'm like, oh my God, Paul knew this. He said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you can feel the mood of Holy Spirit? You guys know what I'm talking about? Have you felt that before? That little weight on your heart, that check on your heart. It's almost not quite a sadness, but it's like, oh, it's like that sort of feeling, like, oh, that's Holy Spirit's mood on the inside of you. That's incredible. This is the intimacy that the Father has with you. This is the intimacy that the Father has with you, that you would know his moods. You would know his heartbeat. You would know where his eyes are looking. So the first step, and I'll just end with this. We'll do 1 out of 10 today. Maybe kind of 2. We did 2, the one earlier. Not preparation for ministry, connection for ministry. All of ministry is coming out of connection. So what do you do? What do you do? Everyone stand up. Just activate this. One of the keys in the kingdom is activation. Everything in the kingdom is voice activated. Voice activated. It's like Alexa. God's trying to teach us something with Alexa. I mean, if you want the man spying on you, you can have an Alexa too. I really don't even fully believe what I'm saying. I just kind of like to ruffle feathers sometimes, okay? Yeah, I'm a little concerned about it. Okay. So everything in the kingdom's voice activated. So you're going to have to use your voice. I'm just going to ask the Father what we might do, because I feel like I want to just activate this right now, this connection thing. There's something about this where we've not conceived of ministry as connection to the Father. I don't think so. I think we think it's something like we got to go do something. Whereas he's feeling like it's like, no, it's about who you're with. Because if ministry is something you have to go do instead of someone that you need to be with, it's a very different thing. And if ministry is the goal for believers, and it's something that you have to do, not someone that you have to be with, you now have a new God. Because the pinnacle of what you're reaching for is an action instead of a person. I've got a sign above my desk in my wood shop, and it says, Peter minus Agathos equals nothing. The exact opposite. Peter minus Agathos equals Peter. This is only part of my ministry. And my ministry shouldn't even affect me. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's just something I'm doing with my Father. And then you get done ministering, and it's like, I'm still with my Father. The best part of the day still exists. So I just feel like some of you, I heard this word, some of you need to make a trade. Trade in ministry as you've known it. Trade it in. You can take ministry as you've known it. It's not something to do. But if you don't, trade it in. Look, you got a junker car. It's no fun. It takes all your money all the time. It takes your time. It's no joy to be in. And God's saying, you could just ride with me and call it ministry. That would be an upgrade. How about you just step in? God is restoring you guys. He's restoring you guys, okay? And I know from us talking the other day, Gavin, I know that the ministry has been heavy upon you guys at times because of your faithfulness. And God's saying in this season, he's releasing his faithfulness to you. To both of you. I don't know your name yet, but to both of you. And it really is like a season where it's almost going to be illegal for you guys to do anything. Good is not God. Just because it's good does not mean it's God. And he is so interested in ministering to you both. You're more on his heart than anything that you can do for him. He loves you guys. So I just feel like it's time to make a trade. Some of you need to make a trade. I think probably all of us, I need to make a trade, okay? It's not what you do. It's who you're with. That's the new definition of ministry. And I'll give you another one too, but that's a new definition of ministry, a new facet of understanding what ministry is. It's who you're with. If you're with him, you are a minister in fuego, on fire. You will do more through being with him, joined at the hip, yoked with him, identified with him, connected with him, the branch and the vine with him. Apart from that, actually, you can do nothing. But if you'd like to keep thinking of ministry as something to do because that's what's been taught us, I'm saying you need to make an exchange. So just raise up your voices. You can do it in your heart, do whatever you do. But I want to encourage you. I'm going to pray something like, Father, ministry is no longer what I do. I just want to be connected with you. Ministry is no longer what I do. I just want to be connected with you. I just want to be connected with you. I just want to be connected with you. I trade out ministry for doing, and I just want to be connected with you. Connected with you. Connected with you. If ministry's a doing, then you're going to constantly try to light new matches to get yourself on fire. But I saw a vision today, and I saw not more matches, the Lord told me. He said more oxygen. And your connection with him will breathe oxygen upon the flame that's already in your heart, and it'll ignite. It's the oxygen. You don't need to keep lighting matches. You don't need to keep stirring yourself up for ministry. You don't need to keep trying to engage yourself in what's going on. You don't need to keep measuring. So I don't quite measure up. I don't quite measure up. Stop measuring yourself. Stop. It's not okay to measure yourself. It's not okay to. That's the knowledge of good and evil. I'm serious. You're just supposed to know him. They knew him and they traded that in for the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? If you think you know something, you don't yet know as you ought to know because we're supposed to know a person. Knowledge, truth, is a person. His name is Jesus, John 14:6. So what I'm telling you is God's freeing you up right now, I believe. God's freeing us up. Make the exchange. Trade that junker in. Ministry is not something to do. It's someone to be connected to. It's someone to be connected to. I'm not trying to engage you in some ministry here. I'm wanting to connect you to the vine, and you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit. Declare this. If I'm connected to him, I will bear fruit. And my joy is going to be full. Okay, amen. Your joy is going to be full. Woohoo! If anybody needs specific ministry, healing in their body, healing for their heart, financial breakthrough, find someone here. Everybody's a minister. Ben here already know this, but some of you are a little bit new. Brad's a real father in the faith, not just to me, but to many. And one thing I've learned is you need to honor long-term faithfulness. And that's so Brad. Obviously, he so laid a foundation for our church last number of years, etc., and mentored me and all these things. But he's a real father in the faith. And he just came up, he said, this one point just keeps coming to me. That's all I needed to hear. And so now you're going to hear it. I don't know what the point is, but I'm saying we need to hear it.
Well, when we look at our example, right? Which is who? I mean, he's our example for everything. He is perfect theology, as Bill Johnson puts it. I love that. Jesus is perfect theology. you're concerned, if you're questioning any theology, look at Jesus. Watch what he does and go, that's it. That's perfect theology, right? As it relates to what Peter is saying right now, that our ministry comes from our connection. Is study of the word important? Absolutely. But if all you do is study and study and study, and you don't have that connection, you end up becoming actually a little bit dangerous. Your message isn't with the spirit of the Lord on it, and it becomes more the letter of the law instead of the spirit of the law. So you can be correct and completely wrong in your ministry. So looking at our Lord, how did he operate? Really, when the next time, like if you just want to read through the New Testament, watch this pattern. Jesus went from a place of prayer to a place of ministry, to a place of prayer to a place of ministry, a place of prayer to a place of ministry. He would minister, he would leave and go up on the mountain. He'd come down, he'd minister, he'd leave and go up on the mountain. He just kept doing that. And he'd go, oftentimes while it was dark, he would go, he would be there all night long. And then he'd come down the mountain, grab his disciples and go and minister. Then he'd leave them and he'd go back up on the mountain. It was that connection. That's what he was ministering from. He studied the word. He knew it inside out. He knew it better than the Pharisees. He would constantly correct their theology. He would say, does the word of God not say? He knew the word, but he didn't rely on that for his ministry. He said, I want to watch the Father move. He moves in my heart. He's moving me over here now. That's where I go. He was moved by the Father and then ministered from that which was inside through his study. But the Father would move him. When he would minister and heal the sick, you will see this common phrase, and being moved with compassion, he would heal the sick. That was the Father moving in him. That would say, go minister to this person. When I go into the streets and I minister, I lead people to Christ, I'm paying attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I learned that from him years ago in my early years. I've told you guys a lot about that. When I started running into these heavy walls of people just arguing with me about the Lord, and I didn't want to argue, I just wanted to love on them. And I would be caught up in a conversation for hours. I found myself resisting, wanting to minister the gospel, and I knew there was a problem there. After, you know, I'd run into these argumentative people many times, I started backing away a little bit. And I was like, no, I don't want to be hesitant. And I went to the Father, and I said, speak to me, Father. Your words, and I said this to him, I said, your word says to go into all the world and preach to every creature. So I don't want to hold back from anybody. I thought that was like the whole of the story. And he said to me, I also said, as many as are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Let me lead you. And so now when I go and minister, I listen to the Holy Spirit. Should I minister to this person, to that person? Because some people are ready. The Father has prepared them. They're ready. Others are not. Right? So just look at our Lord, a place of ministry to a place of prayer, a place of ministry to a place, I mean, a place of prayer, oh, I said it right, to a place of ministry. We have to constantly keep going back and connecting to the vine, getting filled up, and then it's easy. Ministry literally becomes, it's even beyond easy, it's a joy. When you're ministering strictly from you, it's exhausting, it's difficult, it's hard. When you're ministering from what you've received from him, it's like, I just want to share this with somebody. It's a joy. Amen.
Bless you guys. Bless you guys.